Ruth chapter 2. The book of Ruth is an interesting book in that it is set in the time of the judges, and it is one that has insight into a time of peace during the time of the judges. It's sort of a bridge between judges and Samuel. I think the purpose of the book of Ruth is to give the background to David as king, to give his lineage, to give his credentials. But it's also one that tells of God's goodness, God's love, and it's one that explains God's loving kindness to Israel and to us. My brother Saju had a sermon on the word hesed in Hebrew, the loving kindness of the Lord. And that word occurs in this chapter. And it's one that is an illustration of God's loving kindness to us. In the introduction to the chapter, it says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor.' And Naomi said, 'Go, my daughter.'" So Ruth chapter 2, we have the introduction of this man, Boaz. In chapter 1, we had the introduction of the main characters of Ruth and Naomi and how they got together. And so now we're going to be introduced to this man, Boaz, and his relationship to Naomi. It says that he was a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth. That phrase, "a man of great wealth," could also be translated "a man of valor." That phrase is used of Gideon and of Jephthah in the Judges. So he not only was most likely a man of great wealth, but he also was probably a man who went to war and fought during this time of Judges. Although we don't hear of him fighting, but he was a man of great wealth, of great valor. He was a leader in the community. And he was a man that honored God in this time of the Judges when men dishonored God in many ways. So we're introduced to Boaz as a kinsman of Naomi's husband. And Ruth decided that she needed to pull her weight around the house. And remember, the barley harvest was just beginning. And that was one of the reasons why they went back into Israel from Moab, was because God had given to the Israelites the harvest of barley. Barley was the first grain to be harvested in the year, in the spring. And it was the barley harvest that was most likely the first fruits that were given in the tabernacle, because they were the first grain to ripen in the spring. And so Ruth wanted to take advantage of the law that Israel had, and God provided for the poor and the needy by telling the Israelites in the law. It says, "When you reap your harvest, you're in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you do not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat your olive tree, do not go over the boughs a second time. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow. When you gather grapes in your vineyard, do not go over it again. It shall be for the alien and for the orphan and for the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I'm commanding you to do this thing." So Israel, being an agrarian society, God was providing what we would call welfare for those who were less fortunate. But it wasn't really a giveaway program. It wasn't a giveaway program. It was a program where the poor and the needy had to go out and actually gather the grain and gather the crop. But they were not, when they harvest their field, they were not to harvest the corners of the field. They were not to, when they gathered the sheaves, if they had gone over the field in one day and, oh, I forgot a sheaf out there. You know, they had to leave it. In that way, they were to provide for those who were less fortunate. And so Ruth wanted to make herself useful. And so she asked her mother-in-law if she could go and glean in the field under whose sight I may find favor. And that word favor is the word hesed, the word loving kindness. So she was wanting to go out into the field to work. And she wanted to make sure that when she went, the field that she went to, she could find favor in the sight of the landowner. She could find loving kindness there. And so we see that Ruth was already being affected by her conversion to Judaism. And I believe when she told her mother-in-law that where she goes, I will go, whether you lodge, I will lodge. I believe that was her converting into Judaism. She was forsaking the Moabite culture, the Moabite gods, and she was embracing the God of Israel at that time. So she was a convert to Israel. Even though she culturally was a Moabite, she was a convert to Israel. And she wanted to worship the God of Israel. And so here we have in the next section, we have the Lord, how he directs Ruth. And it says in verse 3 that, so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come upon a portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And it happened. Oh, it just happened to go. Is there any coincidences in the Christian's life?
No.
Is there anything that happens by chance? It's amazing how I go about my business and I will say, well, I'm going to go to Walmart or whatever, you know, Meijer, or go shopping, and something will delay me for a little bit. And then when I get to the store, I run into somebody. Is that a coincidence? If I had not been delayed for those, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, would I have missed that person? You're driving and something happens and you're delayed in your wherever you are, you're driving. And then you hear on the news that if I had gone when I said I was going to go and I was not delayed, then I would have been involved in that big 20 car pileup. Nothing happens in the Christian life by chance. But it just so happened that she came across Boaz's field. It just so happened that it was so. And then it just so happened that when Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Boaz said to the servants who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? She stood out in the field. I don't know if it was because of the way she was dressed or if she was, you know, still in her Moabitish dress, you know, in her native dress, or if it was just because Boaz knew his workers. Maybe Boaz just knew everybody that was working for him. Because there were apparently a bunch of young ladies, a bunch of women that were working in the fields for him. But he took notice of her. Whose young woman is this? So she came and she stood out. And the Lord brought his attention to her. And so it was told her in verse 6, it was the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And thus she came and has remained in, from the morning until now, and she is sitting in the, she had been sitting in the house for a little while. So apparently she was taking a rest because she has been sitting in the house. Apparently they had a shelter there, protect them from the sun, take a break. So she was taking a break. Now the reapers, they would reap the grain and then they would gather it together in sheaves, and there would be some that would, they didn't pick up off the ground. You know, the corners of the field where they couldn't, by law, they couldn't reap. So that was standing grain. That was grain that was still in the ground that they hadn't reaped. And then there was the grain that if they, when they gathered the sheaves, if they left a sheaf in the field, they couldn't go back and get it. So there was all these opportunities for grain. And so Ruth, when they gathered the sheaves, she would go around and pick up the leftovers that were left on the ground. And she had been doing that faithfully all morning. Then Boaz said to Ruth at verse 8, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go out from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. And when you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." So here Boaz was welcoming Ruth very, very, very generously. I don't know if those who were gleaning would have to go to the Bethlehem communal well in order to draw water, in order to get a drink. That probably took a lot of time out of their day if they had to walk over to the communal well. Here Boaz's servants, they drew water and they put it in a water pot and they brought it to the field. And they were drinking, they were getting refreshed from the water pot. And Boaz invited Ruth, says, "Go help yourself to the water." That probably saved her a lot of time. A lot of time. Take a break. Sit down. Relax. But wherever you go, remember, take note of these people here. Take note of them, because where they go, I want you to follow them, because they're going to protect you. They're going to protect you. I've instructed them not to touch you. And if you're in my field, nobody will touch you. Nobody will touch you. Ruth said that I may glean the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And that, and here we have a description of favor. Boaz was exhibiting favor to Ruth. He was giving her loving kindness. He was expressing to her stuff that she did not deserve. The favor that he gave to her was undeserved on her part. So Ruth said in verse 10, the Lord directed Ruth to Boaz's field, and now Ruth's reputation has gone before her. When she fell on her face, then she fell on her face, bowing her to the ground, and she said to Boaz, "Why have I found favor, loving kindness in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "All you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." So Ruth's reputation preceded her. Boaz heard everything that Ruth had done. He heard of what happened in Moab, and he heard that what Ruth had done with coming back with Naomi, keeping her company, supporting her, coming to a people that she did not know. And Boaz says, "May the Lord reward you and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Boaz was there and he was providing the field, he was providing the grain. But when he talked to Ruth, he says, "The Lord is providing your wages." Boaz was just the conduit through which the Lord was blessing Ruth. Boaz was just the conduit. Are we willing to be conduits for the Lord's blessing? Are we willing to show the loving kindness of the Lord to our fellow men, our fellow not only believers but unbelievers? Are we willing to be conduits for the loving kindness of the Lord, for the favor of the Lord? For Boaz says, your wages are from the Lord, the God of Israel. When I looked up the word hesed, there's a book called Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words. And in one of the paragraphs, he says, the word refers primarily to mutual and reciprocal rights and obligations between the parties of the relationship, especially Yahweh and Israel. But hesed is not only a matter of obligation, it is also of generosity. It is not only a matter of loyalty, but also of mercy. The weaker party seeks the protection and blessing of the patron and protector, but he may not lay absolute claim to it. The stronger party remains committed to his promise, but retains his freedom, especially with regard to the manner in which he will implement those promises. Hesed implies personal involvement and commitment in a relationship beyond the rule of law. So it's when someone expresses this loving kindness, it does not come out of law. It comes out of grace. It's not because I am obligated. Boaz was not obligated to do anything like he did for Ruth. His only obligation was to let her glean. That was his only obligation. Let her glean. His obligation was not to provide her water. His obligation was not to provide her shelter. His obligation was not to provide her anything else. Just the opportunity to gather the leftover grain. That was only his obligation under the law. But she found favor in his sight, and he went over and above what the law provided. He went over and above what the law provided. She found favor in his sight. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. In the meantime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left over. Wow. He did not have to provide her lunch, but he provided her the same meal that he gave his reapers. He provided her the best that he had, the bread, the vinegar, and the roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had more than she needed. And we read later on that she even took what was left over home with her, and she blessed her mother-in-law with what she had left over. So Boaz continued to show loving kindness, the loving kindness of the Lord to Ruth. And then after lunch, she arose to glean. And Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Wow. They gathered up the grain, and it was all nice bundled up. And then he says, will you go out there and you pull some of that stuff out and put it on the ground for her? I remember growing up that there was a devotional, and I don't know if some of you may know about it, called Handfuls on Purpose, that references this. God provides handfuls on purpose, and Boaz provided this extra grain for her. His loving kindness really was over and above. We hear today, I hear on the radio, I listen to Christian radio, you know, some of it's good, some of it's not so good, but you know, I listen to WCSG occasionally, and some of you may or may not like that radio station, you know, the music that they play. You know, if you have 10 people in a room and you discuss music, you'll have 12 or 14 opinions on music. So it's better than the secular stations. at least, you know. In my, I listen to it, but I don't really, I don't know why my brain doesn't necessarily click with it. My wife will be driving and we'll be, you know, we take trips around and we'll be listening to this music and my wife will explain to me the songs. And she'll say, listen to this and hear what they're saying, because I don't really hear what they're saying, because my brain doesn't work that way. You know, I hear the beat and I hear the music and everything and it's nice, you know, it's okay. And I'll pick up a phrase now and then, but she'll say, you hear this? Can you hear that? You know? And so, you know, so she helps me appreciate that music, because she can hear the lyrics and I don't necessarily hear the lyrics. But apart from that is that, you know, the WCSG has this, program, Mission Network News, you know, if you've heard of it. And it's apparently a syndicated little thing where they have little blurbies, little 5-minute blurbs about, you know, things going on in the mission field. And there's one phrase that they seem to, you know, Christian radio seems to latch onto, being the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, that these mission organizations are out there, they're being the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's just, in my mind, that's just another way of saying that they're out there doing good works. You know, they're out there doing social things. They're out there providing, you know, food, providing shelter, providing, you know, wells or whatever. You know, they're out there providing physical things for people on the mission field. And then, as a result of that, then they present the gospel. And if you don't meet their physical needs of people, then how are they going to listen to the gospel is the reasoning behind it. And here we have Boaz as an illustration of being the hands and feet of God to Ruth. He's showing her in a practical way the loving kindness of the Lord. During a time of judges, during a time when Israel was backslidden, during a time of ups and downs, of enemies coming in and going, and Israel being subject to their enemies, and Israel being to the point where they had no food because the enemy would come in, and the enemy's animals would just go in and just completely obliterate the crops. And when Israel had a crop, they had to, as Gideon did, he had to take it and thresh it in a wine press to hide it from the enemy. They were really in a bad state during this time. But apparently this was a time of peace. This was a time of relative peace. They had the barley harvest. They had the wheat harvest later on. And God was blessing them. And Boaz was showing God's loving kindness to Ruth, being, as they say today, the hands and feet of God to her. And verse 17 says, and so she gleaned until the evening, then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I tried to find out what an ephah is. As far as I could tell, it's 3 pecks and 5 quarts. Now, what's a peck? One reference said it was about 6/10 of a bushel, so a little over half a bushel. So you get a bushel basket, you know, it's about that big around, about that tall. A little over half of that of threshed grain. Threshed grain. That's a lot for one day's work. That would hold them for quite a long time, a couple ladies. That would sustain them for quite a long time. A half a bushel of threshed grain. She not only went out and picked the grain and she had the stalks, but then she beat them on the ground until the heads came off. And then she winnowed it, got all the chaff out of it, and she picked up the grain and she had over half a bushel. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. Over a half a bushel of threshed grain. Wow. Boaz really showed Ruth loving kindness. And God continues to bless Ruth in the rest of the chapter. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she took it out and gave to Naomi what she had left over from her lunch, the food that she had left over from her lunch. And her mother-in-law was surprised, I'm editorializing, and said, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." Because Naomi knew that she got more than what she deserved. She got extra. Naomi knew that you just don't get that much from gleaning. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead." The word kindness there is chesed. Remember when Naomi came back from Moab? She says, "Don't call me Naomi, blessed. Call me Mara, bitter." Naomi had a bitter spirit. She was really, really depressed. She was really down in the dumps. She was really out of it. And because of Ruth and her gleaning and how the Lord had directed her, God had changed Naomi's countenance. He had changed her perspective on life. Naomi was no longer a bitter person. She was no longer, you know, that old sourpuss. She was no longer angry at God because Boaz showed chesed, showed loving kindness to Ruth and therefore to Naomi. God's loving kindness spilled over to Naomi. And then she said, "This man is a relative. He is one of our closest relatives." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished my harvest.'" So come on back tomorrow. The harvest isn't over. You just come on, keep coming back until it's over. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." So apparently it wasn't necessarily the best for gleaners. Apparently people took advantage of these people, these widows and these orphans. And apparently Naomi knew that Ruth had it good. And so she stayed, verse 23, "So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest." So that was quite a long time. That was several months. Barley comes first, the wheat comes second. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So here we have God showing his loving kindness, showing his mercy, showing his grace to this stranger in Israel through one of his servants, Boaz. When you read commentaries on Ruth, you hear of the term a kinsman redeemer. And the commentators will say the kinsman redeemer is a picture of Christ. Boaz is able to redeem. He's willing to redeem, but he had to be a close relative. God provided in the law, because of Israel's link to the land, God provided that the land would be retained in the family. God made provision in the law that the land shall not be sold permanently. In Leviticus 25:23, says, "The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, and you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of your property, you are to provide for redemption of the land. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he had to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and to buy back what his relative has sold. Or in the case of a man who has no kinsman, so recovers his means as to find sufficient for its redemption, then he shall calculate the years since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, so return to his property. But if he has not found sufficient means to get it back for himself, then what he has sold shall remain in the hands of its purchaser until the year of Jubilee. But at the Jubilee, it shall revert that he may return to his property," and so forth. So every 50 years, God made provision that the land would go back to the original owners. So apparently when Elimelech left, he lost his land. Something happened that he had lost his land. So he no longer had possession of his land. Maybe he sold it in order to go to Moab. We don't know. But apparently, as we'll read later on in the book, that there has to be redemption. Because Boaz tells the nearer kinsman that Elimelech and Naomi has some land that she wants to sell. That Naomi wants, you know, and so the land is important. And Ruth and Naomi could not go back to the land apparently, or they couldn't farm the land, or they had no use of the land. So they needed someone that would be able to come in and work on their behalf so that the land would go back into stay in the family. So we're introduced to Boaz, one who shows the loving kindness of the Lord to a stranger, who is one who, as they say today, is the hands and feet of God. Are we able to show loving kindness to those around us? Are we able to show God's hesed, the loving kindness? The word hesed in the Hebrew is translated mercy in the New Testament. So you have the Greek translation of the Old Testament in the Septuagint. And every time the word hesed is there, it's the Greek word mercy. But it's more than just mercy. It's more than just mercy. You have to be willing and able to show the love of God to the person. Are we willing and able to show God's loving kindness to those around us? Do you show loving kindness to your neighbor? Do you show loving kindness to those in the assembly? We had a little sermonette on Wednesday with a brother Ron and talking about the holy kiss. Do we show affection, brotherly love to those around us? Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you show loving kindness to us, that you have given us your loving kindness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so as we experience Christ's love in us, then we experience your love, Father, in us. Help us, Lord, to show your love to those around about us, not only to the believers, Lord, but to unbelievers. Help us, Lord, to be light in this dark world, as Boaz was light to Ruth, the stranger and alien in Israel. We thank you, Lord, for this illustration of your loving kindness, of your favor. It doesn't come close to all that you've done for us, but yet it gives us a brief and slight picture of your love for us through Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, as we go from here, we pray that you would take us to our home safely. Bring us back again this evening. We pray that the program this evening would be one that would honor and glorify and uphold and uplift you and your Son. For we just commit this day into your care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.